ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय Pritchett Kaur, accursed by a Brahmana boy. Text number 34. Brahmanai Chatra Bandurhi.
Brahmanai Chatra Bandurhi.
Grihapalo
Nirupitaha. Grihapalo
Nirupitaha. Sakatam Tat Grihetvasta.
Sakatam Tat Grihetvasta.
Sabandham Bhuktumarhati.
Sabandham Bhuktumarhati.
Brahmanai Chatra Banduri.
Brahmanai Chatra Banduri.
Grihapalo
Nirupitaha. Grihapalo Nirupitaha.
Sakatam Tat
Grihetvastaha. Sakatam Tat Grihetvastaha.
Sarvandam Bhaktum
Arhati. Sarvandam Bhaktum
Arhati.
Brahmanai.
By the Brahminical order. Chatrabandhu.
Chatrabandhu.
The sons of the Chatriyas.
The sons of the Chatriyas.
He. Certainly.
Certainly.
Grihapala.
Grihapala.
The watchdog.
Watchdog.
Grihapala means the protector of the house. The watchdog. Nirupitaha.
Nirupitaha.
Designated.
Saha.
He.
Katam.
On what grounds?
Tatrihe.
In the home of him.
In the home of him.
The master.
The master.
Dvastaha.
Dvastaha.
Keeping at the door.
Keeping at the door.
Sabandham.
Sabandham.
In the same pot.
In the same pot.
Bhaktum.
Bhaktum.
To eat.
Arhati
deserves. The descendants of the kingly orders are definitely designated as watchdogs. And they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to dine with the master on the same plate? Purport. The inexperienced Brahmana boy certainly knew that the king asked for water from his father. And the father did not respond. He tried to explain away his father's inhospitality in an impertinent manner, befitting an uncultured boy. He was not at all sorry for the king's not being well received. On the contrary, he justified the wrong act in a way characteristic of the Brahmanas of Kali Yuga. He compared the king to a watchdog. Grihapala, or Grihapalo, the watchdog. You're just a dog. And so it was wrong for the king to enter the home of a Brahmana and ask for water from the same pot. The dog is certainly reared by its master, but that does not mean that the dog shall claim to dine and drink from the same pot. This mentality of false prestige is the cause of downfall of the perfect social order. And we can see that in the beginning it was started by the inexperienced son of a Brahmana. As the dog is never allowed to enter within the room and hearth, although it is reared by the master, similarly according to Sringi, the king had no right to enter the house of Samika Rishi. According to the boy's opinion, the king was on the wrong side and not his father, and thus he justified his silent father.
Shantimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Chena Tasmae Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Chena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadatitsva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam.
What is the characteristic that Srila Prabhupada is warning against here, especially in the Brahminical class?
Pride.
Yes, pride. High or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity. Right? High or inordinate opinion of oneself. Of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority. This is the definition of pride. Whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in bearing, conduct, etc. So this is contrary to the qualities of a brahmana. Brahmana should be a qualified brahmana. This is the point. This is really the point. And one of Prabhupada's strongest messages. It was also a message of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That you may be born in a family of brahmanas or kshatriyas or vaishyas or sudras or whatever. And mind you, the underlying statement for this particular, for Kali Yuga, where people are not very qualified. Kalo Sudra Sambhava, we're all born Sudra or less. So just in case. But in any case, we may be born in a Brahmana family. But that doesn't mean that we can be classified as Brahmanas. It may give us an advantage. But it may give us an advantage. And Prabhupada gives the example of the son of a high court judge. The son of a high court judge, just by taking birth in the family of a well-qualified and experienced legal practitioner, or one who is very well-versed in the law, doesn't mean that automatically the son will or the daughter will inherit those. It may be an advantage. He's brought up in that environment where legal matters are, you know, steep. Here, culture is important. You know, this is a. Because Prabhupada says here that is the downfall of the whole social order, and it's a culture that is imbibed as a result of that association. So yes, living as a son of a high court judge gives one an advantage because one is then steeped in the culture of legal terminology, legal existence, the pattern of life, the expectations and so forth. These are all imbibed by association, very important. But you know, without having qualified oneself by studying and passing the exams, and then very importantly, because this is the qualification of a brahmana, jnanam vijnanam. One has to be knowledgeable, but it is not enough, and this is a very important point here, it is not enough just to know these things theoretically. They need to also be applied. But the knowledge is one thing, but how to properly apply realization, jnanam vijnanam. And if we look at this whole chapter, and we look at the qualification of Samika Rishi, and then we look at the qualification of his son, then we see a very, very vast difference in the culture. Because Samika Rishi is repentant. for the fact that he didn't receive Maharaj Parikshit properly. But this is very important. As Prabhupada, class I gave on Saturday, wasn't it? Prabhupada talks about the law of reception. The law of reception. A very important aspect of Vedic culture. When somebody comes unannounced, one should be at least polite. This is the culture. At least polite. Just good manners. Here's the king, the emperor of the world, practically speaking, has come to, you know, he's just not an ordinary person. He's a, not only that, he's a great devotee. Right? So he's come to the house of Sumika Rishi and he's just ignored him. And what does his son say? No, you're a dog. Who do you think you are? Right? Grihapala. You're the protector of the house. You know, the dog sits at the front well, in Australian houses on the front veranda. And as soon as you walk past, up he comes. Right? Simply interested in protecting his own turf, or what he thinks is his own turf, based on a false conception of who he is. But that's not that. That's certainly Maharaj Parikshit is the protector of the state, and that's his responsibility to do that. But he's doing that as his duty. That's his proper duty. But he's doing it in the mood of a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a servant of the Brahmanas. Actually, not as a servant only of the Brahmanas. Certainly, the Kshatriya will serve the Brahmanas by seeking advice and instruction from them. But he's not their servant like a dog. And as every devotee, every devotee knows, we're a servant of everybody. Right? He's also a servant of the sudras, he's a servant of the vaishyas, he's a servant of the brahmanas, he's even a servant of the kshatriyas. Das anudas. Kripa pada kamalaya dasa anudas. Right? Gopipatu padakamalayo dasa dasa no das. This is the mentality of a devotee. He's a servant of everybody. And according to the relationship, then he serves accordingly. Right? So Sumika, the difference between Sumika Rishi and his son is very marked. You know, it's very prominent in that Sumika Rishi is very humble, and basically Sringi is very puffed up. Prabhupada, even the next purport, says he's a puffed up son of a brahmana, and that's antithetical to the qualification, to the characteristics of a brahmana. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavihastani sunichayva svapakecha Pandita Samadashanaha. The vision of a transcendentalist, we see that in the characteristic of Maharaj Parikshit, we see that in the characteristic of a devotee like Sumika Rishi. They see everybody equally. Understanding that everybody, even though, you know, one's body's covered by a dog, another body's covered by an elephant, another body's covered by a dog eater, another body's covered by the covering of a brahmana, still they see everybody equally, looking at the transcendental platform. Not you're a dog and you're a whatever. Not seeing from the point of view of the material covering. That's the mode of passion and ignorance. Seeing from the point of view of the material covering. But a devotee and a brahmana is supposed to be learned, and you know, the true learning is to come to the realization that Jivera Swarupa Hoi Nitya Krishna Dasa, we're a servant of Krishna. that we're not this body. You know, the preliminary stage, or the, you know, the basis. What is it? What did Prabhupada say? The living entity is spiritual. The body is his engagement. That's Prabhupada's statement. The living entity is spiritual. The body is his engagement. So, you know, this is the position of a brahmana. Supposed to be. Seeing everybody equally. And, you know, when in a state of realization or and advancement, which is the real qualification of a brahmana, the real qualification of a devotee, then the vision is seeing everybody equally and with the mood of humility. Not, you know, I am the brahmana, you're the kshatriya, you're supposed to be protecting me. You know, we hear this, you know. The brahmanas are supposed to be protected by the kshatriyas. Well, fine, if you behave like a brahmana. But, you know, this condescending kind of attitude, you're just a dog meant to be serving us. This is a wrong mentality. The brahmanas serve the rest of the community. The kshatriyas serve the rest, just like the Prabhupada gives the example of the social body. Social body made up of head, arms, torso, legs. Right? One may be considered more important than another, but is still a servant of the rest of the body. You know, when Prabhupada was asked, he was explaining this point to a reporter, and the reporter replied to Prabhupada, "Oh, you must be the topmost." And Prabhupada said, "No, we're the fifth class. We're the servant of everybody else. Vaishnava is the servant of everybody else." So that's really the mood of the brahmana, mood of the kshatriya, mood of the vaishya, mood of the sudra. Is we're servants. The whole Vedic culture is meant to cultivate that kind of mentality and a mentality of humility, especially amongst the Vaishnavas. You know, we shouldn't be thinking, I'm a brahmana and you're my servant. That's wrong. If Prabhupada said, I'm a servant of everybody else, then that's what we should be. Gopi bhatu pada kamalayo dasa das anudas. In fact, it's offensive to see devotees, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur emphasized this point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and as I say, this was Prabhupada's message very much, that, you know, it's offensive to see European Vaishnava, Indian Vaishnava, this kind of... Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would tell a story of the gold-plated stone pot. Huh? One, the king was given some gold, and he wanted it made into a gold pot. So he gave it to the craftsman, and he said, "I want you to make a gold pot out of this." And the craftsman thought, "Gee, look at all of that gold. I've got to get some for myself." So he got a stone pot made up and then he plated it with gold and kept the rest of the gold. Then he gave it back to the king. "Here's your pot." And the king could feel it. "So this is not a gold pot." He said, "Yeah, it's a gold. It's a stone plated gold pot." So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, "This is, you know, this is the mentality. He's a Vaishnava, but he's not really a Vaishnava. He's an Aussie, right? Or he's an American, or he's a this, or he's a that, or he's a Brahmin, he's a Kshatriya, he's a Vaishya, he's a Sudra." To see devotees, especially from the point of view of some material designation, is actually offensive. And that's, you know, this is knowledge. And Srinis are displaying that qualification, that characteristic. He's just thinking, I'm the Brahmana, you're a Kshatriya. This is a very material calculation. We see it sometimes in ISKCON. The ladies think, yeah, I'm a Brahmana. Everybody should be serving me. It happens. No, if you're a Brahmana, then you should be serving everybody else. That's the qualification of a Brahmana. Not that you're the Brahmana and now we all should do what you tell us to do. And this has happened, you know it's happened to me many times. Because people think, he's just a Kshatriya. Because he's a temple president. Right? He's just an administrator. And we're the Brahmanas. And so therefore what we tell you, you should do. Right? Actually, our culture is Brahminical. We're even a manager within our society is managing Brahminical activities. Yeah, maybe some managerial skills are prominent, but the basis, and this is the basis of all Vaishnav culture, the basis of Vaishnav culture is actually Brahminical culture. Rising early in the morning, worshipping the deities, chanting Hare Krishna, studying the Shastra. This is all Brahminical activity. Then in the daytime we may go out and exercise our talents and propensities and skills. But the basis of our culture, whether we're Brahmana, Sudra, Vaishya or Kshatriya, is devotional service. And that's primarily activities that are considered Brahminical. Primarily. Not to speak of the fact that actually we transcend that anyway. We're supposed to. That's our culture. And the culture is one of not I'm the Brahmana and you're the dog, which is what Sringi's doing here. You know, I'm the Brahmana, you're the Gopapala. What is it? Dvastaha. Or Dvarstaha. What? Dvar means what? Door. Interesting, isn't it? Dvar. Dvar and dvar. Door and dvar. Very similar sounding. Also, sta. Sta. You know, in English we say stay. Stay. Sit. So this is the kind of mentality. Sit. Sit, boy, sit. Don't come in here. But Maharaj Parikshit he's the emperor of the world, so he's not just an ordinary, you know, Kshatriya, he's the topmost, and he's a devotee. That's why Samika Rishi was, you know, very repentant, because this is the culture. He wasn't thinking, who do you think you are coming to get a drink of water from me? He would have been happy. And as Prabhupada points out here, Sringi knew that his father hadn't properly received. This is the other thing. He knew that Samika Rishi hadn't properly received Maharaj Parikshit, a great devotee. Yet he obfuscated that point, that fact. Tried to cover it over with this, and this is what Prabhupada says, you know, this is the characteristic of the Brahmanas in Kali Yuga. Not qualified, but want to pull rank on everybody. I'm a Brahmana. You do what I say. Simply by birthright, I'm a Brahmana. Not by qualification. In this day and age, nobody's qualified, so there's the right. Who has the right to say, I'm a Brahmana? No, because that's not the mood of the Brahmanas, actually. Samo damas tapaso chum chanti rajavameva cha gyanam vijnanam astikyam brahma kama subhavajam. Astikyam sticks to the Vedic principles. Is knowledgeable. But most importantly, vijnanam, they're meant to apply the knowledge. Practically apply the knowledge. And practical realization of spiritual identity means humility. Vidya vinaya sampane. Vinaya means qualified, submissive, humble. Vidya, with learning. One who's puffed up with learning is not actually demonstrating or modeling the correct behavior. Because if one is learned, one doesn't then become full of oneself, one becomes very humble and realizes, I'm a servant of everybody. Of course, we have to be careful about being a servant of everybody, because Prabhupada also said, everybody's servant is nobody's servant. So we know how to appropriately apply that service in any particular situation. Not that, you know, a madman comes along, just like recently we got a madman come along, and then he starts telling us what to do. Oh, I'm your servant. No, in that situation, serving him means get out of here. Stop being offensive. Yeah. So, you know, service of everybody doesn't mean just because somebody comes along and tells you what to do that you automatically do what they say. There has to be some discrimination. We serve in the right context. Right? Srini wasn't doing that. Sumika Rishi also was at fault. Prabhupada mentions that here. He didn't receive Maharaj Parikshit properly. Maharaj Parikshit also was arguably at fault. But, as Prabhupada points out, we can understand the unique circumstances of this situation was an arrangement by Krishna. It was an arrangement by Krishna for the entrance of Kali Yuga, but it was also, more auspiciously, an arrangement by Krishna for the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So very, very, very special circumstances. But here, Prabhupada says, we can see the entrance, the mentality of false prestige. So what did I say before? Pride. High or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit or superiority, whether as cherished. So, you know, you think that of yourself, but nobody else does. Right? Or as displayed in bearing conduct, etc. Right? So, as Prabhupada said, he tried to explain away his father's inhospitality in an impertinent manner befitting an uncultured boy. Uncultured. That, the benefit of living in that environment, living as a son of a brahmana, is that one imbibes the culture. But Sringi hadn't imbibed the culture. And so therefore, lacking in experience, inexperienced. So therefore that means lacking vijnana, lacking practical knowledge of how to apply it. The service attitude to time, place, and circumstances. This is, you know, and as Prabhupada says, requires just a little bit of intelligence. But unfortunately, you know, common sense, which is really, you know, intelligence, common sense seems to be the one thing that's lacking very often in circumstances and situations. And so therefore we get misunderstandings. You get misunderstandings in what would normally be common or garden variety of matters and affairs. Yeah. So So according to Sringi, the king was wrong and thus he justified his father's silence. And then he denigrated basically. This is the characteristic of the brahmanas of Kali Yuga. Denigrate the others. Right? You're just a dog. Grihapalo nirupitaha. Who invited you in here? You should stay at the door. Twastaha. Anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? I think I've covered everything pretty much.
I have a
Yeah.
We all understand we are practicing Brahmin Guru culture according to Pancharatras. We rise early,
perform
all these activities.
Yeah.
We also understand that we all have a particular nature which is acquired by remote activities.
Yes.
So how can we understand and understand these two facts, reconcile them and actually apply them to our life?
Well, as I was saying, we reconcile the fact that we have basically Brahminical culture but also need to engage our natural propensities by imbibing the Brahminical culture in our sadhana, and so therefore we follow the Pancharatra or the corollaries that exist now as appropriate to, you know, our circumstance. But then we need an occupation, we need to do something, and so therefore we engage in those activities that are our natural propensity through in the daytime. We exercise that personality acquired through the modes of material nature. You know, we aspire to engage in Brahminical activities as much as possible, but we may not be naturally inclined to that activity. So therefore, you know, we have to be a little bit self. We have to be introspective, and we have to be in tune with ourselves. If we're not, then we need to take advice from others. And you know, that's where the spiritual master comes in, and the sadhus, the saintly devotees, they assist us. They help us in identifying what our nature is, what kind of activity we should perform. The underlying principle is of developing Vaishnava culture. But I think, yeah, basically, we need to be a little bit introspective. You know, often I ask the ladies, you know, that when I first meet them or at any stage of their career, I ask them, what do you like doing? Right? And Prabhupada says that, you know, you can tell a person's natural propensity by their success in what they do. Like if they're engaged in things, in activities that are their natural propensity, then they'll be successful.
And happy.
Yeah, and happy. And very often we find, you know, that when devotees are unsettled, it's either due to the fact, or very often due to the fact that their ashram is not properly, they're not, well, they need to get married, usually, because we're dealing with generally youth. For the older men, generation is perhaps then not marriage but renunciation. But even then, you know, renunciation doesn't mean necessarily you have to take sannyas, mind you, but be properly situated in whatever ashram one happens to be in. You know, understanding who we are and where we are situated in our, you know, life is a continuum and it's always changing, and so we need to be able to situate ourselves appropriately in a steady fashion given the circumstances in any situation, and we do that basically by engaging ourselves according to our propensities. And because Krishna says that, you know, repression won't. Yeah. So the natural propensities will come out. So we engage them, we grab them, take hold of them, and utilize them. And if you can do that, you'll be happy. Consider ourselves fortunate if we can be engaged in Krishna consciousness and at the same time do what we like to do, then you'll be happy. And we should never denigrate anybody for the type of service that they do. Because, you know, my point very often is, you know, you don't criticise the fast bowler because he can't hit a century. Right? What's wrong with you? No, we want him bowling bounces so he knocks off the other side's head. Right? And we praise him for that. Right? And we don't criticise the opening batsman or the number three for not being able to be a fast bowler. Right? We put him there because he's the one who's going to hit the century. Because he's a good batsman. So, you know, it's teamwork. Just like we don't criticise the legs. You're just the legs. Right? Because without the legs, where would we be? So that's why, you know, the head of society has to be the humblest of all. And he inspires service to the social body by also serving. That's the point. So if we maintain the service attitude, but also, sometimes devotees say to me, oh, I never thought about that. What am I good at doing? I never thought about it. So I say to them, go, think about it. Think about what you're good at doing. And then we'll work out a way to engage that in Krishna's service. How does that sound?
It sounds really nice. Thank you so much. So another question. So if a person is engaged according to their nature, and that's the whole section of Brahminical culture, isn't it? Because if they're engaged according to their nature, then it becomes easier to perform these Brahminical activities.
Brahminical activities or whatever. Whatever activities a person is naturally inclined to do. So what was your point?
My point was that if one is engaged according to their nature,
yes.
Because then they're well situated, then it also becomes easier to perform the Brahminical activities.
Yeah, because he's happier. Yes, certainly. Yes, certainly they're happier and well situated. And so, there's always going to be a certain amount of anxiety in life. Brahmana Chakriya Vaishya Sudra, life is a pain in the neck. Dukkalayama Sastatam, Janma Mitra Vyadi, Dukkha Dosha Anudashanam. And it requires qualification too. It's not that, for Brahmanas everything's easy. No, because he also has to perform austerity. Samogamas tapa. So chum. You know, austerity, cleanliness. These are the qualities of a Brahmana. And for us, austerity means, you know, preaching, basically. Going out and preaching. Studying the Shastras, that we call. So some effort is required on everybody's part, even the Brahmanas. So there'll be issues, there'll be problems, there always will be challenges. Just here, look at, you know, Maharaj Bridget challenges, Samika Rishi challenges. Even make mistakes. Right? We were subject to making mistakes, being conditioned by the material body, but properly engaged means that one's better able to negotiate and navigate the ocean of material, the Bhava Sindhu, isn't it? Is that right? Sarupa.
This is a question. Sometimes while speaking to the devotees, I get a sense of a misconception, maybe you can help, that when the Prabhupada says we follow Brahminical culture, what I get is that we may sometimes think by following Brahminical culture that means everyone is a Brahmana. Can you comment on that?
By following Vedic culture, everyone is a Brahmana.
Yes, Prabhupada said we must follow Brahminical culture, so everyone should be Brahmana. Everyone should be a Brahmana. Everyone should study. Everyone should, you know, perform the duties of a Brahmana. But if we read the first book and the a few classes Prabhupada gave, one Bhagavad Gita, verse 4:13, when Krishna speaks about the financial system, Prabhupada mentions that human civilization is based on Brahminical culture, and this requires intelligence for anyone to put it into practical application.
Yeah. Everybody has to be a Brahmana. Well, again, I think, you know, my response to that would be yes. We follow Brahminical culture as the basis of our devotional practice, basically, you know, because Brahmana means one who understands Brahman. And a Vaishnava aims to understand the Parabrahman. That's Krishna. Right? In ISKCON we have what we call the ISKCON sandwich. We have the morning program and the evening program. And in that program we have, it's basically Brahminical culture. Its external manifestation is the mode of goodness. Rising early, studying the Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, chanting Hare Krishna. You know, and that's for everybody, whether you're a Brahmana, Vaishnava, Kshatriya, Sudra, that's the Brahminical basis. But actually it's not Brahminical, it's the culture of the Vaishnavas. Right? It happens to be in the mode of goodness. So we all spend time cultivating that mode of goodness. But in the daytime when we're active, right, that's when we extract, you know, we get Russa to go and paint, right? We get you to go and organise something. We get somebody else to go and cook. Mahatmaji goes off and looks in people's ears and noses and stuff. Although he's going to retire soon. He's entering into the retired phase of life, having, you know, distinguished himself in his profession. So, you know, we look at what the person's good at doing and then we engage them accordingly. Because we'd be foolish to think that we're all brahmanas, because we're not. We're engaged in Brahminical culture, yes, and our services are focused on supporting Brahminical culture. Vaishnav culture, actually, not Brahminical culture. We're not here to establish Brahminical culture in one sense. We're here to establish Vaishnav culture. Vaishnava culture happens to have the characteristics and qualities of Brahminical culture. And Brahminical culture, it's meant to cultivate jnana, vijnanam. And real knowledge means to know Krishna, which is Vaishnava culture. But Vaishnava culture is for everybody, it's not just for Brahmanas. Prabhupada makes this point in his lectures and in his writings also. The fact that the Brahmanas thought themselves superior to others, and that then the untouchables became, you know, anathema to Brahminical culture. In one sense, they are. But Prabhupada makes the point, it's the duty of the Brahmanas to teach those people, to preach those people, to elevate them, not to leave them in a fallen condition. And so therefore we, and he says, this is the root cause of the gap between the Muslims and the Hindus in India. Because a person became a Muslim, then they just gave them up. Didn't think of ways. How can we get them back to Brahminical culture? Of course, it was very difficult times also. But still, that's what Prabhupada's point was. The Brahmanas thought themselves superior to the lower castes, and so therefore wouldn't associate with them, wouldn't preach to them, wouldn't try to elevate them. And so the gap widened, right? So instead of the Brahmanas thinking themselves better than everybody else, they're supposed to think of themselves as the servant of everybody else. They may be better, but one's actions shouldn't be based on superiority from the material point of view, but superiority from the spiritual point of view, that we understand we're not the body, and so therefore we should act to elevate everybody, regardless of what position they're in, to a higher status. That's how the Brahmanas serve the rest of society. So the service to the rest of the society is what? Engaged in devotional service. That's what the Kshatriyas are supposed to be doing. The Vaishyas are supposed to be doing, the Sudras are supposed to be doing, and the Brahmanas especially should be doing. So, we're engaged primarily in the support of Brahminical culture, Vaishnava culture, but we take the natural propensities of everyone and we engage them. But that doesn't mean that everybody should be, you know, become a brahmana. Well, they can't anyway. Gradually they will, by purification. But you know, Maharaj Prataparudra was a great devotee. Ramananda Roy was a great devotee. Maharaj Prataparudra was a Kshatriya. Ramananda Roy was the governor of, you know, Madras, but he was considered a Kayasa, wasn't it? Which is kind of a Shudra. There's been actually an interesting discussion. There was a conference held recently in Europe of devotees interested in martial arts, and they were calling themselves the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriya Dharma, Kshatriya Dharma, you know. But one of the devotees, Kuntaya Prabhu, was making the point that just because somebody is interested in fighting doesn't make them a Kshatriya. Prabhupada makes the point about, you know, the soldiers who parachute and, you know, jump out. He said, they do it for money. And that makes them Shudras. You know, take great risks, fight, and so forth. Doesn't make them Kshatriyas. Just because a person, just because he's a security guard, doesn't make him a Kshatriya. Huh? You may be a security guard, but that just means you're a Shudra. Kshatriyas, Vaishya, you know, they don't engage in the service of others. Brahmanas, they don't engage in the service of others. Service of Krishna, but not as paid. You know, so most of, you know, IT workers, this, that, and the other, so it's basically, what is it? Shudra. But we don't think like that. We shouldn't think like that. You know, when the householders come to the temple, we're thinking, oh, there's a bunch of sudras. That's not Vaishnava culture. We think he's a devotee. You know, we see everybody from the devotional point of view. They're all devotees. And they're engaged in Krishna's service, whether he's, you know, looking in people's ears and noses, painting as an artist, typing on a computer, project management. We'll ideally look at the qualification of a person and then say, okay, let's engage them. And you know, if there's somebody saying, I'm a brahmana and you should all listen to me, we should analyze that and think, hang on a second, what's wrong? You know, brahmanas don't go around telling everybody they've got to listen to them. They just preach. And whoever turns up, good, that's Krishna's arrangement. If nobody turns up, Prabhupada was, you know, wrote the preface to the Bhagavad Gita with nobody there. But effectively it was broadcasting to the whole world. Is happy to accept and receive whatever comes of its own accord. So, yes, Kshatriyas. So anyway, the point is, you know, Kshatriya is actually a very elevated personality.
Also Sudras, no? Vidura was a Sudra.
Yeah, okay, there's a good, well, Ramananda Roy. So this is the culture. The culture is, you know, even it's just, we see everybody from a devotional point of view, not from, I'm a Brahmana, you're a Kshatriya, he's a Sudra, you know, you're a dog. Which is what's being, what we're seeing here. And so, that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's point. It's not, you know, a stone pot covered by gold. All gold. Devotees are all pure, regardless of what engagement they happen to be. And you know, each one of those occupations engaged in Krishna's service serves the whole body, the whole social body. So we need sweepers. Huh? That's what the queens of Dwarka are always cleaning. In the morning, cleaning. And the palace is not even dirty. But they're cleaning. So cleaning is actually a very elevated service. It's a brahminical service. Not that I'm a Brahma, I don't clean things. Huh? That's how you test the Brahmanas. Tell them to go and clean the toilet. They'll test whether they're actually a servant or not. They see it sometimes. Mahatmaji.
Can you blame Shrangi for giving such a... because it was Lord's order to get the to come.
Well, Prabhupada is. So I guess we can follow in his footsteps. Yeah, I think so. That's what Prabhupada's doing. Prabhupada's saying this is one of the main... Well, he says it here. I figured this was the main point of the... This mentality of false prestige is the cause of downfall of the perfect social order. So when the Brahmanas become proud, they cease to be Brahmanas. Right? And we can see, Prabhupada says, that in the beginning it was started by the inexperienced son of a Brahmana. So actually he wasn't a Brahmana. He was the son of a Brahmana, and so therefore had the access to Brahminical culture. But even though he was brought up in Brahminical culture, he wasn't himself cultured. But he thought he was. That was his pride. And so therefore he told, you know, you're a dog, stay at the door. But that's not what... that's according to the law of... reception. Yes, thank you. Right. According to the law of reception, he should have been received properly. But we understand that it was Krishna's arrangement. Also, Sringi happened to be the instrument. Yeah, the instrument. Thank you. The instrument through which Krishna executed his plan. And because he had a certain amount of, as Prabhupada points out coming up, certain amount of Brahma Tejas as a result of associating with that culture, he then used it to curse Maharaj Parikshit. And so Prabhupada makes a point that, you know, for a fairly small misdemeanor, for which Samika Rishi, his father, forgave him, because that's the, you know, to err is human, to forgive is divine. So Samika Rishi is an advanced devotee, he forgives Maharaj Parikshit, I didn't receive him properly, I'm at fault. And that's the mood of a devotee. Oh, I'm sorry, Prabhu, I made a mistake. And the other Prabhu says, no, I made the mistake. So if you had Samika Rishi and Maharaj Parikshit together, they would have just apologized, paid obeisances, and then got on with life. But Sringi took offense. That's the pride.
Did he get any reaction? Do you know anything?
Not mentioned, as I'm aware. Yeah, he did get, well, yeah, I don't know. That's the problem with a puffed up Brahmana, is that they don't get any benefit from, or they don't make any spiritual advancement. Sukadeva Goswami took advantage of the opportunity, saw it as Krishna's arrangement, and went home, back to Godhead. Sringi doesn't get that good fortune. And Samika Rishi is already an advanced saintly person. Yeah. Okay, we should finish here, I think. Praniraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai.